show as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday at 10 o'clock. That means Wednesdays with my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm great, Earl. Always great to be with you.
You know, Robin Voss, he's one of those guys, Dr. Craig, that you just can't, you know, he's a Joe Manchin. You know, here's a guy who I saw on television the other day, and we know about the $6 billion surplus. And he was asked about, you know, sharing revenue with different towns and cities, a $6 billion surplus, and many of these towns and cities across with the state are struggling economically. They can't afford to pay, you know, the police, the fire, the people who work for the governments and the municipalities, the fact that the pensions of these people are going to strangle the budgets of the cities, just like Milwaukee. Milwaukee's not alone. The educational budgets, all of those things are tied in. And you asked Robin Voss, they asked Robin Voss on television, what were his thoughts about, you know, helping the city of Milwaukee? And it's not even helping. We shouldn't have to be asking him for anything. And his response was, well, they have to show me that they'll know what to do with the money. What is that, Dr. Craig?
Well, that's a lot of things, given that Milwaukee is the only what they call first-class city in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
Wisconsin law, that means large city. Only large, diverse city, obviously Racine also has claimed the title of a diverse city. But there isn't a whole lot of places that do in this state. It's a violation of the whole social compact. We've looked at, it's been more apparent how norms have been shredded when we talk about Donald Trump, because it is so flagrant and obvious. But the way our structure in the state of Wisconsin was set up, it was a broad progressive income tax that generates a lot of revenue, and then it's redistributed to municipalities. Municipalities in Wisconsin and cities, for example, have far less taxing power than they do in most other states. A Chicago, a Pittsburgh, Detroit, a Twin Cities, they can raise revenue more easily.
Right.
And as part of that social compact, if you're going to restrict how much revenue authority, say, the city of Milwaukee has, and then you're going to, but you then have to deliver it back in what's called shared revenue. And shared revenue has been being choked for years. It's even worse for Milwaukee County. The county of Milwaukee will have less revenue in a couple of years than the cost of mandated state services. In other words, everything discretionary they won't be able to do. They won't even be able to meet their legal obligations, which tells you the people who are not meeting their legal obligations and their moral obligations is the state legislature. And they claim they believe in home rule and local control, but then they want to micromanage that, and then they have is there going to be a real discussion in the powerful budget writing committee, the Joint Finance Committee, which is going to be tilted towards Republicans because of a gerrymandered legislature, I mean, heavily tilted, like 12-4 Republican, about what it really costs to do things in the city of Milwaukee, what the legitimate increase should be? Of course not. But here's what I'll say where we have to take our own agency on the Democratic side. Will Governor Evers, in his budget, at least propose what cities and counties and school districts really need to create a clear differentiation because if the maps are changed, and they could be if we get a fair Supreme Court after the next election, then we need a clear dividing line for people to, so the voters know who did what, who defunded their school district, who defunded their city, and who tried to fund it. And so that's part of my concern is that Governor Evers hasn't stepped up enough with to create a clear contrast with what the Republicans we know are going to do.
You know, Dr. Craig, you know, Robin Voss is also a coward. After I saw him make the statement that he made on television and basically say, I don't trust that they know what to do with the money. And so it angered me so much, Dr. Craig, as a homeowner and as a taxpayer and a lifelong resident of the city, to see this man, knowing that our city is in a horrible, horrible situation in a year or two, that it's going to be turned inside out and upside down, and we, as the people who live here and the taxpayers, are going to have to rely on, and one man can control that and say those things and not pay a price for it. I reached out to him. I wanted to be able to ask him a question over the air. You think they've gotten back to me? No. But yet he could be on the WISN channels for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever it is they ask. But when you're impacting the lives of residents of the state, Dr. Craig, you shouldn't be able to get away with it. And if you feel as if you have right and justice on your side, then you should be willing to have that conversation in the public domain. Am I right?
Oh, of course you're right. They're fundamentally anti-democratic, even the ones who are not fully MAGA, like Robin Voss. He thinks he should be able to make decisions for the city of Milwaukee. He thinks he should be able to create legislative maps that guarantee he has a speakership, regardless of how the public votes, which is not democracy. And then he doesn't think he has to listen to people beyond the people he talks to in his own district. And so of course, you could say, oh, well, you should talk to your state assembly person, and then they'll talk to Robin Voss. Well, they won't talk to Democrats, really. They're frozen out. So if you have Democrat representation, you have no representation, which makes the state income tax taxation without representation, if you think about it, given that Governor Evers only has the ability to block what they propose. He cannot himself create a budget, right? He cannot fund things on his own. It has to originate in the legislature and be passed by both houses. So it's revealing of a basically undemocratic attitude. Earl, I totally agree with you.
You know, Dr. Craig, it also is frustrating to hear Speaker Voss. He clearly states we're going to give a $3.4 billion tax cut back to the people. And certainly I would be one of those people who would get a tax cut. But you know, Dr. Craig, I would say that there are more important things that can be done with that money than for them to give me back the pocket change that I would get, you know, in the tax cuts that I would spend in a short period of time. And so they can't be any more creative than that, Dr. Craig, is what is so frustrating with all the different needs that are needed across the state. And yet denying the city of Milwaukee an opportunity to raise a sales tax. I heard on one conservative station, well, we're not going to give them anything back because until they get rid of the trolley. And what it points out, Dr. Craig, and what it points to is that these people are just disingenuous. These people have it in for the city of Milwaukee, and they're going to do what former Governor Thompson said many years ago, stick it to Milwaukee. And that has not changed. That's still that mentality. Far too many people across the state of Wisconsin who have that mentality.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that the city of Milwaukee can't decide its own mass transportation, especially when it was using money won by our federal legislators.
Yes.
And could have been spent years before if it wasn't for white backlash in the suburbs against light rail because they were afraid, let's face it, that low-income black and brown folks would have more access to their areas. And, you know, we want to limit their mobility and therefore limit their economic opportunities, right? So it just shows the same attitude that that their little cultural divides that they were able to foment backlash against high-speed rail, which would have been paid for by the federal government. Robin's boss came out and told Madison that wants an Amtrak station that there could be no state money for it, right?
Yes.
When that would be a great economic engine for the state, and a lot of people could use much better transportation links between the Twin Cities and Chicago and Milwaukee and Madison, okay, which also was provided by the high-speed rail a decade ago, which would have greatly benefited Wisconsin. And so it is the attitude of, like, the strict father knows best, right? Except this is an abusive father because this father doesn't really care about the kids, right? Only cares about himself. It's an egotistical, self-interested father who craves political power. And when they say tax cuts, returning it to the people, it is a little like the, you know, original founding documents of the country, where we the people actually meant we the white men with property, because only people with property could vote, and only white people could vote. Women couldn't vote. And so, okay, we're going to return the taxes to anyone who pays income tax in a reverse Robin Hood fashion. That is, the more money you make, the more you'll get back. And by the way, if you make too little money to owe state income tax, you get nothing. That is what their tax cuts always do. And despite the fact that you pay lots of taxes, you pay a lot of taxes because of the work the state government doesn't do with shared revenue in terms of sales tax.
So, Dr. Craig Holothall, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, I really have to tell you, it really does frustrate me when you know that democracy has been usurped, and you see a guy like Robin Voss, who is thumbing his nose not at the Democrats in the legislature, but for the homeowners and all the people who live in the city of Milwaukee, and so he has he just has no compassion whatsoever. You can't, on the one hand, say that. Well, you can do it, but it certainly shows your lack of morality. Those people don't want a law enforcement, and they don't want more police because they want to cut the police. But then you look and see, Dr. Craig, that it is impossible to continue to maintain law enforcement at the same rate when all of these pension mandates, are coming, to fruition, and less and less resources, and then penalize the city because it doesn't have the financial resources to do the things you're asking, because you are holding back the opportunity for the city to even raise the resources they need.
Yeah, I mean, Mandela Barnes made this point during his, you know, close election loss, and it didn't get picked up. And that was that they're the ones who funded the police.
Yes.
They are funding billions, I mean, hundreds of millions in ads against Mandela Barnes, accusing Democrats and Mandela and Tony Evers of defunding the police, which they did not do, when the Republican legislature has been defunding them every cycle. So it does tell you that in a way, these cultural triggers, they don't relate to policy. Their voters are going to believe them regardless, because they just want it. They just want someone to who's going to, you know, to be on the right side as they see it, and to agitate them and lean into that. And so there's very little curiosity about who's funding the police. Now, I actually think that the Democrats need to do much more to reform the criminal justice system. Okay, so, but I'm just pointing out the hypocrisy of the Republicans here. But I don't believe that all that we need for public safety is adequate funding for police departments as they currently exist. But that's going to be a different conversation. I think that they're going to do this. Right. No matter what, they're going to proceed with their hypocrisy because they're mostly about power. Another thing to understand is that Robin Voss is kind of the avatar of this. In other words, we see him talking, we see his face. Right.
Right.
Really, the big money's behind him. Okay. And the big money gets off scot-free. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the state chamber of commerce, has been the fundamental driver of this change in Wisconsin for decades, and is the primary supporter, the biggest of the big of the Scott Walker element of the party, and now the Robin Voss part of the party, and Scott Jensen before Robin Voss, if you go back,
yes,
to the last decade, and so that a lot of the main, shall we say, prominent people in this state, who are doing very, very well, and the biggest corporations, they're perfectly fine with this, but they get to wash their hands of it, right? And they also get to put their hands out for public subsidies if they'll agree to build a fancy headquarters in downtown Milwaukee, as they're supporting candidates and a legislature that is defunding and strangling the city of Milwaukee. So that is the situation. So we do want to keep our eye on the ball. I once met and Robin Voss had lunch with him in the speaker's office. He does bring a brown bag of lunch. I'll get him that. And it was with Kevin Kane, who, you know, my former
yes.
colleague. And Robin, on a couple issues, you know, because we curated what we were going to try to get him to agree to, told us he had sympathy for it and could probably get there himself. But what people don't understand is how right-wing my caucus is. And I think there's some truth in that. I mean, I don't think it was a dodge. He's a pretty arrogant guy, and he's a smart guy, pretty smart guy. So he wasn't trying to, like, deflect. I didn't see him try to duck. I saw him describing to us that people assume that somehow if he changed his position that he'd get his own colleagues to do so, and that isn't necessarily the case. And that's something to bear in mind, because a legislative leader, a Nancy Pelosi, a Robin Voss, they're doing what they can get a consensus on and what they can lead on. They're not like a governor that can just make the decision unilaterally.
You know, Dr. Craig, I'm not disputing any of that. But what that does do is not show any light at the end of the tunnel and no way out for the city of Milwaukee.
There is. If we had a Supreme Court that was a real court and not right-wing politicians in robes, and we're one seat away from having such a court, then the current legislative maps, they are not permanent. They were not put in for 10 years. The way it went down is the state Supreme Court, because there's one conservative who reads the law at least some of the time, Brian Hagedorn, he supported the governor's maps over the Republican one. Then this horrendous Trump U.S. Supreme Court batted it back. It was Amy Coney Barrett was the judge in the shadow docket. There was no public arguments about it, which is also controversial. and claim that they didn't give the legal proof that we needed one more African-American state assembly district under the Voting Rights Act. And what happened is the Supreme Court basically reversed itself because there wasn't enough time and imposed the Republican map, the only ones that were clearly legal because of the question raised by Justice Barrett. What that means
Dr. Craig, hold the thought. All of you on the lines, hang on. We'll come to you right after the break. And you're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Let's go to the phone lines. And John, hey, John, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what? John.
Hey, you're talking to me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm usually identified as Jack from Merrimack. Anyway,
okay. Right.
Yeah. Sorry. Robin Voss, there's a piece of work, in my opinion. He doesn't, he cries a lot of crocodile tears. Oh, my caucus is so conservative. And yet, he is responsible for driving that caucus exactly in that direction, because he's basically designed those maps so that none of his people can lose. And that means that there is absolutely no consequence for them doing nothing, for them giving billions away to their billionaire buddies. I have no belief that Robin Voss is interested in doing anything other than retaining power. I really think that's his total motivation. And not only that, he probably was even at least partially responsible, tacitly so, for Ron Johnson's little false elector trick at the national capitol as well, because he allowed these people into the state capitol to basically to sign on as fraudulent electors. So I have absolutely no trust in Voss at all.
Dr. Craig?
I agree with Jack from Merrimack's fundamental point that Robin Voss is really only just in power. I agree about him being responsible for this caucus. I do think most of them are very right-wing. In fact, I was talking to a small business leader yesterday who was lamenting he could name two of them that you might be able to actually do some work with. And that's for small business or a public constituency. But I think he created this legislature with the district maps he drew. So he is responsible for them morally, and he's responsible for wanting to leave them, right? So he is responsible for the actions and the conduct. I'll say on the insurrection, actually, it has been reported and verified that Scott Fitzgerald's the one who gave the fake electors the room at the Capitol to meet the constitutional requirement that the electors did their work in the state Capitol. So he didn't do that, but he enabled the Michael Gableman investigation, which was an all-out effort with no evidence and just Fox News-level disinformation, attempt to discredit the 2020 election and overturn it. So he has blood on his hands on the insurrection, though. Actually, I think the fake electors actually getting to meet the Capitol, that's laid on Scott Fitzgerald, then Senate Majority Leader, but transitioning into being a U.S. Congressman, as he is now, from Waukesha.
Let's go to Bill from O'Connor, Milwaukee. Good morning, Bill. You say what?
You guys do a wonderful job, and you're doing something that the far right, the mega people, Scott Fitzgerald, who, by the way, never met a crisis he didn't like, and I've spent time with him one-on-one, by the way. He is just a piece of work. But here's what you and the doctor are doing. You're doing one thing that just drives them out of their minds, accountability. They took an oath of office. You're holding their feet to the fire, and they're running from you. You scare them, Earl. So does the doctor, because they don't want to be held accountable. They want to live in their world, and if they commit a crime, well, they'll just have their buddies try them, and they get away, or, you know, oh, there's nothing here. Of course. You know, it'd be like Al Capone being tried by Al Capone's gangster mafia. Of course he's going to get away. Of course he is. But you guys do something that they find the most difficult. It's accountability. I'll hang up and
Hey, Bill, you know, yes, it's always great having Dr. Craig on. And, you know, for years I've listened to Dr. Craig and his eloquence. And that's why he's a part of this show, because he, you know, not only does he know, he's actually on the grassroots. He's a grassroots guy. And so he knows the inner workings of all of that. So it's his knowledge of the subject matters and the fact that, you know, they can't pull the wool over his eyes, man. Thank you very much for the call. So Dr. Craig, you brought up Scott Fitzgerald, and I was celebrating when he was gone, just like I was celebrating when the what is the other guy's name that became a congressman a few years ago? I call him Barney Rubble.
Glenn Grothman, right?
Yeah, I call him Barney Rubble. Glenn Grothman. But we've had some characters, right, who've really done some long-term damage, because what Robin Voss is doing, Dr. Craig, is long-term damage that the city and Milwaukee County may never recover from. And so, you know, you say that if we can get the Supreme Court seat, and Janet Protasiewicz is a person who, I don't know the guy from Madison who's running. I do know Janet Protasiewicz. Go ahead.
I can speak a little bit about Everett Mitchell.
Yes, sir.
We should take Everett Mitchell very seriously. So we have two candidates that would be real judges.
So I need to reach out to Everett Mitchell then.
Mitchell is a he's an African-American judge. He runs Madison's drug court. He has impeccable legal credentials. And he is considered nationally, there have been good feature stories on it, one of the most innovative and effective drug court judges in the whole United States, and has done a great number of things to save people's lives and to get them on the right path, and do it in a very progressive way. So we're having our endorsement process at the organization I lead, Citizens National Wisconsin, and we're taking Judge Mitchell very seriously. And I know Block, a local African American organization here, has already endorsed. They've already endorsed Judge Mitchell. So I would say that we have two strong candidates, and that we need to select the one that's good, that both that can win and can be the most effective, you know, and be a great Supreme Court justice. The thing about Judge Mitchell is, as you know, there's still the wound of that seat being stolen from Louis Butler.
Yeah, Louis Butler.
Yeah,
they called him Loophole Louis Butler, and they really, it was criminal what they did to him, or should have been criminal. You know, Dr. Craig, though,
it was Earl. It was criminal. Are you there, Earl?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here.
I think I've told you the story. When he ran the ad that claimed that that was Justice Gableman, the same person I mentioned who ran this horrendous and embarrassing, you know, investigation, the 2020 election at state expense, he ran an ad that claimed that someone had got out and committed a terrible crime because Louis Butler, the public defender, had gotten him off.
Yes.
He hadn't gotten him off at that point. He had represented him earlier in his life. He had nothing to do with him being out of jail for that crime. And so it was a lie. That's a violation of judicial code of conduct, outright lie in an ad from the candidate. Of course, the dark money groups can lie and they have deniability. And so we filed a complaint, and it was the first in Wisconsin history where it was sustained against the state Supreme Court justice. And the penalty is removal, Now, unfortunately, after he was convicted, it goes to the state Supreme Court. Gableman had to recuse himself, and therefore the court tied 3-3, and so no action was ever taken. But he, so in other words, there was a violation of the state code for all lawyers and judges that was and he was found guilty of it. Gableman, Lewis Butler was the first African American state Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin history. He was appointed by Governor Doyle. He should have been reelected. If Judge Mitchell was to be elected, and we have to go process ourselves, then he would be the first elected African American state Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin history.
So, Dr. Craig, if I'm hearing you right, and I know I am, this election is as critical an election as we'll have, and so you've got to work almost as hard as you did the last time around, because this could be the key to changing so many things in our state that are wrong. That the legislature under, Robin Voss and others have been able to kind of keep Milwaukee and Milwaukee County in this box.
Yeah, we have another branch of the legislature right now, the state Supreme Court. It makes law. It doesn't just interpret it. Banning ballot drop boxes, which make it easier for people to vote, and are the most secure way to vote, actually. It's much more secure than mail voting. The ridiculous Jim Crow-like loopholes. Jim Crow was actually a set of strange little provisions that frustrate people's right to vote. People don't realize they couldn't outright, because of the 13th and 14th Amendment, ban African Americans from voting.
How many jelly beans in that jar?
And then so they you have to have a witness when you vote by mail, which is itself a burden on people who are frail, elderly, or disabled, and have to find a witness even if they live alone. But then if the witness signs it, writes their correct address, and leaves off the zip code, and you know any of us can put it in a web search and immediately find out the zip code of any address, right? Then the ballot is thrown out. That was a decision made by this court. That is just flat out legislating and voter disenfranchisement. And then, of course, we've already talked about the gerrymandered districts where the Republicans are guaranteed in the state assembly, which is 99 seats, at least 63 of them, a supermajority, even if the public was to vote, you know, the Democrats would win in a landslide. And so that is, and there's a whole lot of other things we will get into that this court decided. This court decided to change our election law to keep Scott Walker out of jail because he committed massive violations of state election law during the recall elections, and then got away with it because the state Supreme Court took the case immediately, in other words, skipped all the lower court proceedings, and then just changed the law. Currently, they're not taking the abortion question immediately, meaning that we're operating under an 1849 law. Right. And that they didn't think that was important enough to expedite to their decision. So I'm just saying that they are one of the fundamental reasons this is an anti-democratic state, and one of the fundamental barriers. One shift in the justices, we'd have a 4-3 majority for real judges who would actually interpret the law and actually do what the court is supposed to do. We weren't supposed to have 10-year terms for people who won't even tell you what they believe in because they don't want to tell you how they'd rule in a case, right, when they're running, deciding policy for this state on top of a legislature that is undemocratically apportioned.
You know, Dr. Craig, I've been around long enough, just long enough, that I remember when the Democrats had control over the Supreme Court. It seems like I was a young boy the last time that the Democrats, it's been that long. And you just look I'm beginning to think, Dr. Craig, that there are people in this state who really don't know what the Republicans are doing. And what they have been doing, and they just believe, you know, the conversations that Republicans are spewing and putting out But if the majority of the people around this state really realize what Republicans and conservatives are really doing, not just to disenfranchise people in the city of Milwaukee, Dr. Craig, but, you know, many people across the state who suffer because of the whims of the conservative movement across this state and across the nation.
I mean, it's partly that. There are a lot of people who believe what they're being told by Republicans and just say, I'm going to believe my side. But here's the problem. Even if, you know, we elected Governor Evers, so the only real legitimate election for
welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number as Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, this Supreme Court race is nonpartisan. So, you know, it's not likely, but there can be two Republicans who make it through, and that can, or there can be two Democrats who make it through. It's not likely, but it can happen. So let me ask you, how do you feel right now about the chances of the Democrats retaking the Supreme Court, state Supreme Court?
I think the chances are 50-50 at this point, from all the information we have, not knowing how the primary is going to go, what we're going to learn about the candidates. We do have an interesting divide on the Republican side as well. That is, we have former Justice Kelly, who is supported by billionaires
right,
like Richard Eline and other big parts of the kind of Walker-Voss Republican establishment. But then we have this celebrity judge from Waukesha, Judge Doro, who has entered the race. And so, and she has a lot of potential to do very, very well, but she's being attacked on local talk radio by the right because she has been honest. She may be a little bit more like Justice Hagedorn in that she has some honest judging in her. She's been a critic of cash bail. And the problem with that is it calls out the lies that Republicans told against Mandela Barnes, who would introduce the bill to reform cash bail. And what she says is fascinating, just so all of your listeners know. She says it doesn't make people any safer because judges are forbidden to take into account public safety, like whether releasing the person is a threat to public safety. They're only taking into account whether they have the resources, the money to pay bail. And that is exactly the point. That's why all the stuff about how dangerous criminals are going to be released because Mandela Barnes was for reforming cash bail. Actually, Barnes's bill would have made us safer because it would have allowed justices to take into account public safety. So I'm just telling you that there's a real division there. But I think she's a very right-wing judge otherwise. Apparently, they are collecting signatures for her at gun shows, so I do not want to overstate her progressivity. She is also from the far right herself. So we have competitive primaries. I'm not as worried as others are. It's kind of like an inside politics thing that we're going to get two Republicans. I think people, we've shown over the years that both sides get the bat signals of who's on within what party, and therefore, given it's a 50-50 state, they're going to split the Republican vote. Even if some independents and Democrats are confused, overall, it's the second vote getter is going to be one of the two candidates identified with the Democratic side of the ideological spectrum.
Dr. Craig,
Everett Mitchell and Judge Janet.
The billionaire class could lose out because she clearly is a darling with having been shown out front on what happened here in Waukesha and the fact that she became a national darling based on how she handled that case. And where normally the billionaire class and talk radio, squawk radio, might have been able to lead people, you know, in the direction that they want. In this instance, they may not be able to.
I agree. And she's shown herself to have a lot of political cutthroat savvy. She schedules the trial in October ahead of the election to get maximum attention, despite the fact that it actually was prejudicial to do it during the election with all those crime ads, the lying ads from the supporters of Ron Johnson and Ron Johnson himself up on the airwaves. But she did it in order to get maximum attention and set up this state Supreme Court run. So I don't think she should be underestimated, but I don't underestimate what the machine that funded by the Wisconsin billionaires and the establishment Republicans and this talk show apparatus they have on broadcast radio in Milwaukee, what impact that's going to have as well.
You know, Dr. Craig, we spent, you know, all the time today talking about the state. And I clearly wanted to talk about Joe Manchin and Christian Sinema. And, you know, you just, I mean, is there ever going to be a time when you can take a deep breath? You know, so the Democrats were able to hold things off, and then you got, you know, Joe Manchin and Christian Sinema doing their thing.
Well, the problem is the margin is so tight that you give two people a lot of power. Power, as one wise person once told me, is at the margins. So they're more powerful in some ways than the 48 other Democratic senators, or 49, actually, with the reelection of Reverend Warnock in Georgia. But I don't think the Sinema thing changes what happens in the U.S. Senate very much, because Sinema's been, they've had to chase after her like she's an independent the whole time anyway. What it changes is whether she can make herself into a John McCain and win re-election. And from what I've seen, that's unlikely, because her approval ratings are in the tank among far too many voters. And her alliance is not with any group of voters. It is with big interests, like the pharmacy interests, for example, and other big corporate interests. And I think she's going to ultimately, since her polls won't improve, not run for re-election and go get a very lucrative post-U.S. Senate career. That's what I think. But at this point, I don't think it changes. I think she's been this way all along. We might as well at least name her as an independent in the U.S. Senate rather than as a card-carrying Democrat.
Hey, Dr. Craig, as always, great stuff, my friend. It just doesn't last long enough.
It's always fun, Earl. All yeah, right. And I'm glad you do this work.
Well, thank you. And we'll be back. I'll see you again in a week. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Connor. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.